It is indeed a good morning. I hope that everybody here is doing well. It's so great to see you. I appreciate very much the thoughts that you've had with not only the King, Moss, Cordray family, but our church family as well. Again, Sister Pauline is such a jewel, such a blessing to know and to love and to have in our hearts. And so to all your family, we're going to keep praying for you guys. And we're here for you any way that we can be. We recognize that today is the tail end of Thanksgiving break for our students, for teachers and such, and many that take this week off. And so we have several that are traveling still this morning, but I'm so thankful you're here. I'm so thankful we have this opportunity to be together. I hope that this day finds you feeling renewed, refreshed. We sang songs this morning led by Joseph that have reminded us of the importance of heaven, the importance of God, the importance of following Jesus Christ. We've been able to gather around this morning and read from God's Word. Romans 6, 22 and 23 that Harrison read to us reminds us that we're here in the gift-giving season, but the greatest gift of all, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk more about that, not only today, but throughout the month of December. But we also were able to gather and remember through Johnny's words of reminding us the importance of Jesus, the importance of giving, and the importance of what He gave. And so I hope you feel renewed. I hope you feel refreshed. It's now time in our worship period to reflect on where we are. And so I want to think about starting today being renewed. You know, when I was a child, and probably you can think back as a child as well, and you can probably recall having a few presents under the tree. Now, you know, I think the older we get, you know, the more we want to give it away, right? We don't care about gifts and as much as we did when we were children. And so children really get excited when they start seeing some gifts under those trees. And when you have a few of them, usually the way it works, at least the way when I was coming up, it's kind of the one they would want the least first, right? Because you want to end with the finale. And so as a child opens that first gift, and maybe it's on their list, maybe it's not, you know, maybe Santa got it just right or whatever, you know, maybe he brought them something that they didn't quite want, and I don't know, however it goes. Well, they open that gift and they look, they may be a little bit disappointed or a little bit excited or whatever it may be, but there's always hope that in the next one, when they open it again, there'll be something better, right? And it's kind of like that in our lives. As we live our Christian life, maybe yesterday was a bad day. Maybe Friday was a bad day. Maybe Thursday was a bad day. Maybe it was a bad week. But guess what? We opened up today. And today's the Lord's day. Today is about Jesus Christ. And as you're here today and as we reflect on the gift of Jesus Christ, and folks, let's face it, that's the greatest gift of all. What did He say in John 3:16? He said, "For God loved the world that He," what? "He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For Jesus did not come in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." What a great passage and reminder that as we open up Jesus Christ, as we clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ, we accept Jesus Christ, right? As we accept Him and we live for Him every day, maybe even every hour, maybe even every minute, we have renewal. That's our theme this year. As we wind down this year, we've got to talk about who made renewal possible. And that's Jesus Christ. I want you to join me, if you will, in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke gets it started really with a lot of detail here. Again, I think that's part of him being a doctor. He's very detail oriented, and he reminds us a lot of this beautiful scene. 20 verses, if you'll stay with me as we go through this reading real quick. Beginning in verse 1, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into the heaven that the angels said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard. Somewhere in the neighborhood of some 4,500 years after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, renewal was wrapped up in a food trough. Now for 4,500 years, man had had that on his heart. Remember, the Bible tells us that just like the first Adam brought sin into this world, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness. Okay, God knew when Adam sinned that his son had to come. He knew it long before then, but that put everything in motion. 4,500 years before, they've been waiting on renewal. And renewal was wrapped as a gift in swaddling cloths in a manger in Bethlehem. This was 2,000 years after God said to Abraham, "Through your seed, all nations will be blessed." 2,000 years now after Abraham had that promise made to him. Now think about what happened in those 2,000 years. Jewish nation rose to power, divided, and went into captivity. You see, in 2,000 years, they'd heard about the renewal. They'd heard about the gift. They'd heard about the free gift of God. And then 2,000 years later, He came. 3,500 years since Elijah spoke. Years before Elijah, after that, Elijah spoke about Jesus Christ. 440 years since God last spoke to His people. Think about that. 440 years when Malachi spoke last and he closed up his book, right? He penned the last words of his book. 440 years, there was nothing. But here it is. In Luke chapter 2, it is revealed the gift that had been promised, the gift that had been spoken about, looking forward to, had finally arrived. Renewal had finally arrived. So what did they exactly find? Those shepherds were told, hey, go and find them. And you're going to find this baby, this gift, and he's going to be wrapped. Just like every child opening that gift, there's a chance of renewal. There's a chance of hope. There's a chance of joy. Well, in all of this, when they found the gift lying in the manger and they unwrapped him, what did they find? Here's what they found. The first thing they found was good news. Good news. You see, this gift, Jesus Christ, this free gift of God, what did he bring? He brought good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You know the word for good news there is euangelizo. Euangelizo. All right, there's your Greek lesson for the day. All right, that is the same word we get evangelize from. Okay? So what are we doing today? Well, we're preaching. What are we preaching? We're preaching the good news. What's the good news? It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Well, guess what was wrapped up in that gift? Good news. Why was it good news? Well, for, again, 4,500 years prior to that, sin entered the world. Okay? 4,500 years prior to that, sin entered the world. Think about that. Well, with that being said, guess what? They needed some good news. They had looked for the Messiah. Now, they didn't picture that gift being, you know, sometimes our gifts, I don't know if department stores still wrap gifts and all, but you remember McRae's and Gafers and all them? You could go and you could get the gifts wrapped and they'd be fancy and they'd have all the beautiful wrapping and the little sticker that said Gafers or McRae's with a bow and all that. Then the kids would open them and be like church socks and underwear or something. You know, and they would be all disappointed, right? The gift that they wanted was wrapped, that they didn't want was wrapped the prettiest. Well, this gift wasn't wrapped in pretty wrapping. It was wrapped in just some cloth that they had ripped and torn and put together so the baby could be warm. But oh, when they unwrapped it, it was the most precious gift of all. Good news. Today, do you need some good news? Today, did you come in here with a lot of bad going on? You know, a lot of people look forward to today, December the 1st. A lot of children, a lot of families, they love this time of year. But there are a lot of people that don't. You know, it's kind of like old Merle Haggard said, if we make it through December, everything's going to be all right, right? That's kind of the mindset that people have sometimes. I just want to get through this time. Why? Because there are some hard times. When you're at the holidays, depression in a lot of people is at the highest levels of the whole year right now. And so today, maybe you need some good news. Maybe the bank account's empty. Maybe the health's not where you want it to be. Maybe the family life is struggling. Maybe the job is struggling. Maybe you're struggling with a neighbor, struggling with a friend, struggling with something else. Well, let me tell you today that we can open up the gift and get all the good news we can handle. He could take away all the bad news. What was the good news? Why was it good news? Number one, the promise was finally here. Number two, the King of all kings had now arrived. The Savior had arrived and hope had arrived. The same thing today if you open up Jesus Christ in your life. Guess what? The hope is here. The promise is here. The King is here. The Savior is here. Accept the good news today. But then there's something else that was in the gift, that was in the swaddling cloths. As Mary opened it, as the shepherds opened it, we learned that inside the gift, the I in gift in this case, would be Emmanuel. Emmanuel was in that gift. And let me tell you, that is a special thought while we break it down today. Matthew 1, beginning in 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us. Now, I want you to know that Jesus didn't go by Emmanuel. He went by Jesus. He went by Rabbi. He went by Lord. He went by Messiah. He went by the things that we know Him. Never do you hear them refer to Jesus as Emmanuel. But Matthew said, He shall be called Emmanuel. Why? Because it fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. This moment in Matthew, and Matthew talks about in Matthew 1, is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. By the way, fulfilling a prophecy is a pretty big deal, right? Watching a prophecy be revealed. They knew those prophets. They knew what Isaiah said. And now here it is right before them. Many still rejected it. You see, it's not that Jesus ever bore the name Emmanuel, but it indicated His role. You know what His role was? His role was bringing God to us. Think about that. Think about that. Jesus Christ, as a baby, lying in a manger, a place where animals ate, that was His crib. They took some old cloth and they wrapped Him up. The shepherds came from their fields because the angels told them to find that baby, to unwrap Him. And they looked in there and they found God. They found God. Let me say this today. If you are lonely, again, this time of year, there are a lot of people lonely. Maybe. And again, it's hard, and I pray for you because I know it. I know what depression is like. I don't know what you feel if you've lost a loved one, but I know that emptiness, that hollowness, that sadness. Today, we don't have to be alone. Today, we don't have to face loneliness. Today, we do not have to feel hopeless. Because just as those shepherds opened up that gift and they saw God dwelling among the people, God is dwelling among us in His Spirit in this room today. And you can open that gift and you can have it in your life. Matthew explains this phrase is actually a transliteration. And that's what he means. It's translated God with us. It's a transliteration of the Hebrew into Greek, making a new Greek word from the sound of the Hebrew phrase, God is with us. In Romans 5, verse 6, we're reminded of this. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we needed God the most, God dwelt among us. Emmanuel dwelt among us. The propitiation dwelt among us. The mediator dwelt among us. Our brother dwelt among us. Our friend dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, the perfect and free gift of God, came at just the right time. And that may be the time for you and me today. But then thirdly, as those shepherds came in from watching their flocks, just like the angels had told them, into that area where those animals were, in that barn, in that stable, if you will. And they said, where is the babe? And Mary and Joseph pointed to that food trough. And they walked over there and they heard, maybe even heard Him. Maybe He's cooing. Maybe He's crying. Maybe there's something going on. And they open up the gift. There was something else they found. And that's forgiveness. They found forgiveness. You see, In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 and following, we have the following words. For when there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now let me try to illustrate that to you, or break it down a little bit. As they opened up the gift, there was good news, right? As they opened up the gift, there was Emmanuel, God with us. But as they opened up the gift, you know what has finally come to the world? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now under the old law, this is the way it would work. Under the Day of Atonement, they would come to the high priest and they would bring of their best of their flock and they would give it to the priest, and the priest would bleed out the animal, okay? And he would take the blood from the best that they had. He would walk into the holy place, which was the tabernacle. Then he would go through the veil to the holy of holy places. Only the high priest could do that. He would walk then to the Ark of the Covenant. And he would take the blood where the presence of God dwelt, and he would sprinkle on the Ark of the Covenant. And the presence of God would accept the sacrifice or reject the sacrifice. The priest would return back and he would tell them what happened. And that means for the year prior to that, their sins were atoned. Atoned. So they had to do it the next year. And the next year. And the next year. And every year after that. And if they died, they didn't die forgiven. They died atoned. But then, all of a sudden, 4,500 years after Adam, 2,000 years later after the promise had been made, about 1,600 years or so more after that, 440 years, they had been silent. They go in there and they open up the gift, and finally, there's no more atonement. It's now forgiveness. You see, God can't dwell in the presence of sin. He can't dwell in the presence of sin. He's that holy. And so, until Jesus Christ came, we had no hope to dwell with God. But now God, in that stable, in that food trough, is dwelling among us. But so is forgiveness. That's why it was good news. That's why it was such good news. When it comes down to it, to you and me, this was the most important part of the gift. See, you may have walked into this room today and your life's just miserable. Yeah, maybe it's miserable because of life's circumstances, but I'm talking to the ones that it's miserable because of our circumstances, because of our decisions. Because I decided some time ago to walk the ways of the world, to walk the ways of darkness, and I have found myself downtrodden. I found myself broken. I found myself most miserable. I need a new gift. Something I can open to bring hope. Well, today you can open Jesus Christ. And you can be immersed into water. Contacting what? His blood. Understand this. As the Hebrew writer said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Moses sprinkled the blood of goats and sheep on the book to dedicate the old law. But Jesus wrote a new law. Now that new law didn't come into effect until the testator died. Okay? But as they open this gift up, he's writing the law. And that law is of the heart. And today, by contacting his life-saving, life-forgiving blood, we can be renewed. We can be saved. That's good news. That's God among us. That's forgiveness. You see, it's why the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. It's why Paul, after being beaten and locked in prison, sang songs of praise. It's why the apostles gladly endured the persecutions and the punishments that they received. So my question to you and me today is this: what are we willing to do? What are we willing to do to receive that forgiveness? I hope it leads us to the last point here. We have the good news, we have Emmanuel, we have forgiveness. But there's one more thing that the gift brought to us. I think because I dropped it, it won't change, Robert, sorry. But it's the word transformation. You see, the T in gift is transformation. We need to change, but we need to be changed. You see, I can't change on my own. Oh yeah, I could change my hair color. Oh yeah, I could maybe grow a beard. Oh yeah, I could change the way I look, but I can't change my soul without the gift of Jesus Christ. I can't change my destination between heaven and hell without Jesus Christ. That's why it was so important for the gift to come and for them to unwrap Him so that we can be transformed. You see, Mary held Jesus for the very first time after He was born. And guess what she was? Changed. You, just like you and me, right? When we held our children for the very first time, there's no longer, hey, let's go out whenever we want to. Let's go do this whenever we want to. Hey, we got plenty of money. Let's go eat. No. All that changed, right? When we held those babies for the very first time. It changed us. When Jesus was 12 years old, and He was with those scholars in the temple, and He left out of there, guess what? They were changed. They were amazed. It changed their mindset. Those disciples, fishermen, tax collectors, selfish, looked out for themselves. When they left Jesus after 3 years, they were changed. 3,000 on Pentecost had just put Him on the cross, just killed Him. And they stopped Peter in the middle of that sermon and said, "What do we need to do to be changed?" And they left there changed. When you open and when you accept the free gift of God, we must be willing to be changed. So I'm going to ask you today, are you willing? I think the scene of Jesus being born, that nativity scene, if you will, I think it's a beautiful scene. I'm still a fan of people. Hey, again, it's not about when He was born to me. It's about bringing glory to His name. And so when you see things like McDonald's has a nativity scene on their windows, doesn't that make you feel a little bit good? It does me. Why? Because it's about Jesus Christ. For Jesus to die, to be buried, and to be resurrected, He had to be born. He had to be found. He had to be opened. And He had to grow. Today, for us to be reborn, we've got to find Jesus. We've got to open that gift. We've got to accept that gift. We've got to contact His blood. And we've got to be changed. The gift of God. It's waiting for you. Won't you come accept it right now together? We stand and sing.